This week in KMA land, McQueen re-elected Shenandoah's mayor. Two new faces join the Shenandoah City Council. Red Oak mayoral and city council races are decided. Winquist wins a full term as Glenwood's mayor. Taylor County EMS referendum passes. And Iowa Western and Stanton bond issues are approved. I'm Ethan Hewitt, filling in for the vacationing Mike Peterson. Well, after a long and sometimes arduous campaign, KMA land residents went to the polls to decide major races and referendums in Tuesday's city school elections, and voters in Shenandoah gave Roger McQueen four more years. Unofficial results from the Page and Fremont County Auditor's offices showed McQueen re-elected in Tuesday's city school elections with 562 votes, or 55.37%, to challenger Jerry Wagaman's 448 votes, or 44.14%. In an interview on election night in KMA land Tuesday night, McQueen was asked what made the difference in winning the hotly contested race against Wagaman.
I honestly think that the citizens of Shenandoah have seen what we've accomplished in the last 4 years as a city. I think they're looking for somebody up there that's got experience, in leadership in running the city. And I would hope that was a lot of the reason why. We've got a lot of things accomplished, and we have a lot more on the planning board. And I think most of the ones I've talked to over the last year, wanted to see us go ahead and continue moving forward.
McQueen credits his campaign staff with helping accentuate the positive.
We just tried to keep our stuff very positive. We wanted to show the progress that we had made, and the things that that I've been involved with as far as, Vision Shenandoah and, just getting recently elected to the Iowa Mayors Association, things like that. We wanted to stay positive. We wanted to show that, I'm in this serious, I take this job very serious. And so I think that was, that was our game plan from the very beginning.
McQueen indicates that innuendo in the social media made the campaign different than from 2021, when he defeated seven other candidates to win his first term as mayor. Well, and Shenandoah voters also elected two new faces to the city council. Unofficial results from the Page and Fremont County Auditor's offices showed challenger Jeffrey Capps defeated Ward 1 incumbent Rita Gibson, receiving over 62% of the vote. Gibson, meanwhile, received just 37% of the vote, or 81 votes. Meanwhile, Matthew Regan emerged victorious in the four-person race for the council's at-large position, receiving 357 votes, or just over 36%. Alan Jordan received 252 votes, or just over a quarter of a percent. Kathy Silvestri received 234 votes, or 23.8%. And Jeff Heiser rounded out the field with 140 votes, or roughly 14.2%. In an interview with KMA News Tuesday night, Cap says he was pleasantly surprised to have received the voter support.
I'm totally beside myself. I mean, I put in a lot of hard work to get where I did, and evidently it paid off.
Well, meanwhile, Regan also tells KMA News that he was surprised to see his name at the top of the hotly contested race.
Just kind of surprised. There was a lot of people out voting, and the number was pretty surprising. I was very happy with it.
Unofficial results from Page County indicate that over 21.5% of registered voters in the county participated in Tuesday's city school elections. Well, an incumbent and newcomer to city government have earned election to the Essex City Council. Unofficial results from the Page County Auditor's Office show Kevin Nyko and incumbent Jeff Eshelman as the top two vote-getters in Tuesday's city school elections. Nyko was the top vote-getter with 135 votes, or 44.4%, while Eshelman received 75 votes, or just over 24%. Meanwhile, Jeremy McComb received 55 votes, and Donald Olson rounded out the four-person race with 39 votes. In an interview with KMA News, Nyko says he is humbled to have received the voters' support and partly attributes his ability to commit a lot of time to the role to earning a spot on the council.
I think the time I have to devote to the city, me being retired, some of the key issues of driving for the Lakin Project, driving water tower, take it to the final stage of completion.
Nyko fills the council seat vacated by Nicole Wenstrand Larson, who opted not to seek re-election. Eshelman earned his second term on the council after he was initially elected in 2021. Eshelman says he feels the city has done a better job of seeing through projects over the last few years.
When I ran originally, what I witnessed was a lot of kick the can down the road stuff going on, but I see we're getting a little more stuff accomplished now. I mean, there's still another 4 years ahead of us now for this new council, and with one new member. Congratulations to Kevin as well. I think he'll do well.
Well, Calvin Kinney ran unopposed for Essex mayor and received all 112 votes of the votes cast. Well, in the Essex school board races, Rebecca Franks and Heidi Hossel were both elected to at-large positions with 158 and 150 votes, respectively. Brian Nelson was also the lone candidate running to fill a vacancy on the school board, receiving all 171 of the votes. And Red Oak Councilman Tim Friedhoff has been elected the community's new mayor. Unofficial results from the Montgomery County Auditor's Office for Tuesday's city school elections indicate that Friedhoff received 451 votes, or just over 66%. Former Councilman John Heidsick, who had dropped out of the mayor's race too late to have his name removed from the ballot, also received 173 votes, or over 25%, while 54 write-in votes were also cast. Born and raised in Red Oak and operating Oak Valley Animal Health with his wife Kate, Friedhoff was elected to one of two at-large city council positions in 2021 and is now expected to succeed Shauna Silvius as mayor, who opted not to seek re-election. Friedhoff reacted to his election to the mayor's position in an interview on election night in KMA Land.
I think it's notable that it's always the best practice to take the high road. No matter what happens, you run a clean campaign. You stand on what you believe and what you know to be is the right things to do, and I think people respond to that.
Friedhoff's opponent on the ballot, Heidsick, dropped out of the race last month in the wake of comments he had made at a Mayor's Youth Advisory Council invitation-only conversation with mayoral and city council candidates. Friedhoff also attributed the efforts of his campaign staff to Tuesday night's victory.
We had a very good group of individuals that helped us go through and canvass neighborhoods and reach out to people, and I know without them this may not have happened. So, again, just I'm very thankful to my community right now.
And meanwhile, a familiar face to Red Oak City government is returning to her old seat on the City Council. Unofficial results from the Montgomery County Auditor's Office show that Janice Lester won the race for an at-large seat on the council over John Gross. Lester received 443 votes to Gross's 234, equating to nearly 65% of the total vote.
I know that I can continue to do a lot of good for Red Oak, and coming back on board, that's I see a bright future for us. So thank you very much for all the votes and for the contest people that supported me, and I'm glad it's over.
Lester credited an honest approach to her campaign victory. Two other seats on the council were up for election this year. Terry Cuppy was unchallenged for the Ward 2 seat, while Levi Franks was unchallenged in filling the vacancy in the Ward 1 seat. Then almost 2 years after being appointed Glenwood's mayor, Angie Winquist is getting a full term. Unofficial results from the Mills County Auditor's Office show Winquist defeating challenger Jason Schultz in Tuesday's city school elections. Winquist received more than 80% of the vote, or 386 votes, to Schultz's 86 votes, or less than 18%. Winquist was appointed mayor in December 2023, succeeding the late Ron Cohn. While speaking on election night in KMA Land Tuesday night, Winquist says her previous experience made a difference in the race.
Having worked for the city as the city administrator, and I was city clerk when I first started with the city, gave me some insight as far as what to expect in city government. And contrary to what's been said about me, I am a very active mayor. I have been very busy these last 2 years working with the various departments. I'm on various boards throughout the county and attend a lot of different meetings and working with the department heads as well as the council members on different projects.
Well, now that the election is over, Winquist has a lot of priorities the next 2 years.
So I really want to see through the downtown revitalization program, working on the pool situation, You know, we need a new fire department. There's so much that we need to do here in the city, and I'm just looking forward to working with the council members for another 2 years and trying to accomplish some of these goals.
Glenwood voters also decided a city council race Tuesday as incumbent Mike Lyons defeated challenger Michael Ray Phillips Jr. for an at-large council seat, 312-99. Still to come on This Week in KMA Land, Taylor County voters approve an EMS referendum and also mixed news for some various bond issues throughout the region. Welcome back to This Week in KMA Land. With an emphatic yes, Taylor County voters have backed implementing a new funding source for emergency medical services in the county. Unofficial results from the Taylor County Auditor's Office for Tuesday's city school elections show the implementation of an EMS essential service property tax levy, well surpassing a 60% supermajority requirement, receiving 994 yes votes, or 71.6%, to 393 no votes, or 28.3%. With the voters' approval, plans call for implementing a countywide 60 cent per $1,000 valuation property tax levy, with the funds reserved for various EMS agencies throughout the county. Taylor County Ambulance Service Director Jan Beach Sickles is among those relieved to see the essential service levy pass and extended her thanks to voters for their support of EMS agencies in the county.
I am relieved that we have an opportunity to improve our services here, develop a system so that we have the coverage that we need in the county. We have a lot of planning and a lot of work we can do before that, so we're ready for it.
Well, plans call for the levy to take effect during fiscal year 2027, with the funds then available to EMS agencies in fiscal year 2028. Until then, Beach Sickle says plenty of planning will commence with the formation of an EMS advisory council comprised of representatives from each community in the county, which will oversee and allocate the funding. Beach Sickle says the levy is expected to generate around $300,000 each year. She says those funds will be crucial for the smaller volunteer agencies in the county, which currently receive little to no government funding and rely heavily on fundraising efforts.
We want to make sure that they have the equipment and supplies that they need. Also, we really want to recruit so that we can get people into classes and build a system with first responders or, emergency medical responders, or EMTs in each of the communities. Even if they don't have an ambulance, they can be providing care until a transporting ambulance can get there.
Well, the levy will remain in effect for 15 years before it needs to be reconsidered. Well, and what a difference a year makes for Iowa Western Community College's bond issue referendum. 1 year after a narrow defeat, voters in Iowa Western's 13-county region overwhelmingly approved a $55 million bond issue for a long list of facilities improvements. Unofficial results from a Tuesday city school election show the bond issue passing with 70.54% of the vote. An ecstatic Iowa Western president, Dr. Daniel Kinney, tells KMA News he was blown away by the referendum's passage, which easily cleared the 60% supermajority needed for approval. Last year's bond issue attempt fell less than 1% short of passage.
You know, first of all, I got to thank the voters out there for getting out. I think we did a lot better job this time around, really talking about and getting out and sharing, you know, the dreams that we had for Southwest Iowa and what we could do at Iowa Western Community College. I mean, you know, a year ago tonight, I was pretty disappointed being less than 0.5% away, but knowing that, I know we can get it out there. So, you know, I definitely have to thank the voters for getting out there.
Proceeds from the bond issue will cover construction of so-called flexible industrial training space at Iowa Western's Clarinda campus and centers in Shenandoah and Atlantic for career technical education, or CTE, courses. Also planned is construction of a transportation logistics center at the school's Council Bluffs campus. Kinney says training provided by the new facilities will provide a workforce Southwest Iowa businesses and industries need.
The jobs that we are going to create or train for that comes out of this money is what we need to turn this economy around in Southwest Iowa, you know, to keep the good factories and businesses that we have in our communities, to grow those businesses. I mean, that's what they need. I hear it from business leaders every day. Produce me more diesel techs, auto techs, welders, HVAC, whatever it would be. We continue to hear that because they need those to keep to keep their factories open, to keep their position, their businesses open.
Well, the Iowa Western referendum smashing victory highlighted a mixed night for bond issues in numerous KMA-land school districts. Voters in the Stanton School District ratified a rare feat by passing four building project-related referendums in one election, in addition to approving a roughly $5.3 million bond issue with more than 64% of the vote in Tuesday's city school elections. The district's patrons also authorized a levy between $2.70 and $4.05 per $1,000 valuation to cover bonded indebtedness with more than 62% of the vote. By that same percentage, Stanton voters also renewed the district's voted physical plant and equipment levy for a 10-year period and a revenue purpose statement by more than 72% of the vote. Even Stanton School Superintendent David Goot was amazed by the clean sweep.
What I understand from talking to the financial experts is maybe we're the second school district to ever get four pass on one ballot.
Well, Goot credits a thorough information campaign with the bond issue's passage.
We held several community meetings trying to explain what we were doing. So I think we did three of those. And then we had different groups of people going out and trying to meet with individuals. And then also was available for a smaller group at one time. So just trying to get the word out there, you know, letting people know what each one meant for the district. And we were fortunate enough to get all four of them to pass.
Well, funding from the bond issue is earmarked for a number of projects, including a safe and secure entryway, new classrooms, and heating and air conditioning work, among others. Goot hopes some of the building renovations will take place this summer, and others may take place next fall. Other school-related referendums were decided Tuesday in KMA land. Atlantic School District voters said yes to a $22.5 million bond issue with almost 70% of the vote and the district's revenue purpose statement by more than 70%. Atlantic voters also rejected a referendum using $18.5 million and secure an advanced vision for education or save dollars for construction of a multi-purpose activity center at Atlantic High School. And Bedford School District voters rejected an $11.5 million bond issue to cover construction of a new competitive gym onto the K-12 complex's secondary wing and a new loading dock in back of the building. The vote was 625 to 290 against the referendum. Voters in the Riverside School District said no to a voted physical plant and equipment levy, 690 no to 388 yes. And Page and Montgomery counties have joined the growing number of counties in Iowa chipping in on a legal brief in a court case related to local control and carbon pipelines. Meeting in regular session Wednesday evening, the Page County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved a one-time $500 contribution to the Iowa State Association of Counties for an amicus brief in the upcoming U.S. Supreme Court case between Shelby and Story counties and Summit Carbon Solutions. Shelby and Story County officials seek to appeal the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling in June that upheld a lower court's ruling barring counties from implementing ordinances regulating carbon sequestration projects, such as the proposed Midwest Express CO2 pipeline. Well, the board also heard public comment on the brief, including from Montgomery County resident Jan Norris, who reviewed a webinar hosted by ISAC on the topic last week. Norris says ISAC officials have identified some concerns over how the appeals court's ruling could impact home rule in Iowa.
No one, the state or PHMSA, is considering safety when doing routing. Only the pipeline company. County home rule authority is being threatened, which could lead to other projects also, such as wind and solar. The case the amicus brief is supporting focuses on the Federal Pipeline Safety Act. This is about local control, not the pipeline.
ISAC has been asking counties to chip in at least $500 for the brief with a total cost of $25,000. Supervisors Chair Judy Clark said the letter they received from ISAC identified that if they wanted to contribute, the state group needed to the check by November 21st. Clark, along with Supervisor Todd Mayer, who made the motion for approval, agreed it would be an inexpensive and good idea to contribute to the brief.
I think it's important to stand together as far as home rule and at least defending that. And I would say 100% support it.
By a 4-1 vote Wednesday morning, the Montgomery County Board of Supervisors also approved a similar $500 contribution. Well, that wraps up this week in KMA land. Be listening each week at this time for This Week in KMA Land. And for more information all the time, you can log on to KMALand.com, where you can also hear this program in its entirety. For Mike Peterson and the entire KMA News team, I'm Ethan Hewitt, and have a great weekend. This Week in KMA Land, a presentation of KMA News, keeping the region informed for 100 years.